I love weddings. I especially love weddings when our young people here at First Baptist marry each other, or some fine Christian from elsewhere. Last night, or yesterday afternoon late, we had another fine couple become husband and wife in this place. Not long before I had met, or I had performed the ceremony, I had met with one of our young people, newlyweds, to whom the complications of life had suddenly and shockingly arrived. Not long after the wedding, I met with another one of our young ladies, whose ceremony I performed, who suddenly was thrust into the realities of life. You know, I hurt when our older people hurt. We're grizzled veterans. We've been in the battle a long time. We, too, have learned maybe a little easier, sooner, or more than the young people have, of the reality of Christ and the goodness of God and the marvelous grace of our Savior and the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. But I heard little extra nothing. I heard a lot more. And all of a sudden, for the first time, kids that have grown up in the church, I sit in the study, and as I see their tears, I see them leading cheers again. I see them at youth activities again. In just a few days ago, that's what they were doing. Just a few days ago, planning a wedding. Just a few days ago, choosing the gown. Just a few days ago, cheering the basketball team on to victory. Just a few days ago, life was light, easy. And the other side of the fence seemed so much greener. And now, all of a sudden, these precious young people of ours are faced with the reality of life. I watched the couple walk out yesterday after they were pronounced husband and wife and kissed. I watched them walk out, and I said to myself, wonder what they're walking to. Wonder how long it'll be before life becomes real. Wonder how long it'll be before a baby has an illness that's incurable. Wonder how long it'll be before a miscarriage comes. Wonder how long it'll be before one of them has a serious illness. Wonder how long it'll be before they face the burdens and realities of life. And you know, I said to one of our young ladies this week, though she's married and has her own family now, I said to her, I said, you don't understand this. You're a young lady. You're married. You have your own child. But I said, to me, you're still a teenager. You're still one of the kids to me. Because I remember you as running around the church and dating and coming by the office and beating the chairs. Then all of a sudden, life becomes real. This morning, though I want to address all of you, I want to give special attention to those of you who are facing burdens for the first time. It's not familiar territory for you. Your tears, your eyes and cheeks have not been often stained before. You've not come to a wall before which you could not climb. You have not borne a load before that's too heavy for you to bear. And all of a sudden, that which looked to you like utopia when you're in it is a storm. And you're facing things you never thought you'd face. May I say this, when you stand here and say, for better, for worse, both are coming. Both are coming. David was not an old person. He was a young man. He was tending his sheep. He was suddenly awakened rudely to the realities of life. And suddenly his heart was broken. And standing or walking neath the stars at night, looking up to God's created chandeliers, he said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now there's much more to that psalm, one of the most beautiful of all the psalms. But I want to pick out for a few minutes that one little line, what is man that art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? There are three words there that no English word could describe. There are three words there that in any translation whatsoever, no English word could capture their whole meaning. One word is the word man. Doesn't mean just what is two-legged creature. Nor doesn't mean that. The word is a stronger word than that, and I cannot even tell you all it means. I know it means weak man. I know it means insignificant man. The Hebrew word is Enosh. There's a second word there that's almost untranslatable, and that is the word mindful. The word means far more than our word mindful. And there's a third word, the word visitous. Now, I've tried to take everything those three words mean and put them in a little outline this morning to tell you what you already know, but to tell you what the young man David said and meant when he looked up to the stars at night and all of a sudden he faced reality. You boys that carry the football around the end, and you've struggled, as I'll say this tonight, you've struggled to win. Let me tell you, my young man, that struggle for the next first down is but a symbol of a life of struggle. And many first downs that you're going to have to fight to win and to gain. It's just around the corner. It really is. You don't know how many people, not yet 30, who stood right here where I stand and have given their vows to each other. You don't know how many of them this morning don't know how they can face tomorrow. And you don't know how many of them woke up this morning and wished that they could not wake up. You know how many of them, I'm talking about our kids. I'm talking about the ones that were in the nursery when I came to pastor here, the ones that have grown up. I'm talking about the kids that have set out and watched Silly Billy and been scared to death of Fooey Dini and the old timer and the devil. I'm talking about those who've said, come and join our Bible school. Now they've grown up. You don't know how many of them this morning face burdens incomparable. David was your age when he said, what is man that art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. And talking about God, he said he meant seven things. First thing he meant was this. Concerning God, he is. He is. I don't know any more news that's better than that. He is. We have a God. He's a real, living God. He lives. We're not here by ourselves. There's somebody bigger than we are. Madeline Murray O'Hare, to the contrary. There's somebody bigger than we are. There's a God. There's a God. There's a God. He is. David was saying that as he counted the stars at night and examined their magnificence and beauty. He said first, he is. I'll never forget as long as I live. But Todd Moffat said to me, Todd Moffat, I think, is in heaven today. I think the boy was saved. He grew up in our church. He was a kid. He was one of our kids. Sat in vacation Bible school like our kids did a few days ago. Todd had an accident.
I'm not sure what it did to him, but it may have affected him a little bit emotionally. But Todd went out into the world. He tasted the sweet wine at the top of the glass and kept drinking until he had gotten all the way to the dregs, the bottom of the glass. To find what all people find who go into sin, it gets worse all the time. And finally, one night, I think it was, I was walking out of my office to the waiting room. I saw a disheveled young man there. He said, "Brother Hiles, don't you know me?" And I said, "Son, I'm sorry, I don't know you." He said, "My name is Todd Moffat." I said, "Are you Todd?" And I hugged him. And he said, "Brother Hiles, just a few hours ago, I was at the bottom in St. Louis, Missouri. I was in a tavern." He said, "They don't make the things I hadn't done. Dope, liquor, name it. Looked like a vegetable." And he said, "I was sitting in the bar in St. Louis, Missouri. And suddenly I asked myself the question, does anybody love me? Does anybody love me?" And he said, "Preacher, your face popped in my mind. Isn't that wonderful?" He said, "Preacher, I asked myself the question, does anybody love me? All of a sudden, I saw your face. And I got on the motorcycle. Came straight to heaven." And here's what he said. "I knew you'd be here. I knew you'd be here. I knew I'd find you in the office helping somebody. I knew you'd be here. Did you hear me? I knew you'd be here. I knew you'd be here." David said, all of a sudden, life is unfolded with its tears and heartache and heartbreak. And David said, "He is. He is." Moses was going to Pharaoh. He asked God, "Whom shall I say, send me?" And God said, "Tell him, the I am has sent you." Not the I was. God never will be an I was. Not the I will be. God is not the I will be. He's the ever present I am. And the first thing David said, "I have a heartbreak. My heart is breaking. My burden is too hard to bear." But he said, "Thank God, He is. He is." Second thing he said, when he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him?" Second thing he said was, "He knows. He knows. Mindful of him," he said. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" David said, "It's a little more difficult than it was when I was a kid throwing stones in the field. A little more difficult than it was when I was a kid shepherding the flock in the desert. A little more difficult than it was when I was a kid drinking from the well of Bethlehem. A little more different than it was when I was a kid playing up and down the hills of Bethlehem." He said, "It's different." But he said, "Now that all of a sudden I've had to face the realities and heartbreaks and trials of life," he said, "not only he is, but he knows." I was thinking through the week, I wish everybody could know of the greatness of some of our people. I sat across the desk last night in my study, one of our young ladies that grew up in the church here, and as she walked out the door, I said to myself, I wish everybody could know how great she is. I wish everybody could know her courage. I wish everybody could know how she stayed and stood. And I wish everybody, all of our people, could know what I know about her. Thinking this morning of one of our fine ladies who's nearing the 70, who has burdens immeasurable, a load unbearable, humanly speaking. And I was thinking, I wish everybody knew the burden she bears. You know, half of us, I better not include myself, half of us
bear burdens and tell about it. The other half of us bear burdens and listen to yours. You'd never know she had burdens. You'd never know. And I found myself, I wish I could get up this morning and I won't do it. I'd like to just tell her name and tell you the burden she bears. I wish you could know. I saw Brother Ray Young yesterday, and I could have said about anybody, but I said to myself, I wish everybody knew how hard that man works. I wish all of our people knew the hours that young man puts in on the staff here, and I could say it about others too. I was thinking about a man on the platform now, and I thought, I wish everybody knew how his family has suffered in the last 2 or 3 years. I wish everybody really knew all the truth about everything. I wish everybody knew the burdens people bear. And I told God this morning, I said, dear God, I don't want to ever make anybody's day the slightest bit darker. And I was thinking, this last week as school was approaching, and I was praying for our school teachers, I wish everybody could know just how great people these school teachers of ours are. I was thinking, Mrs. Scales, as I do often, about you. I wish everybody could know the pain you feel in your body. She's the only person in this church can get up and walk out while I'm preaching. She hardly ever does, but if she does, she has a right to do it. Bless her heart, if you knew what pain she feels in her body. I wish everybody could know the greatness of the people sitting in this room. And yes, I'll be honest with you. I guess all of us wish that every once in a while somebody could really know exactly the load that we carry. You thought that, and I've thought that. And David thought that. David looked up at the stars and he said, dear God, I've never had to face much like this before. I've always been the sweet psalmist of Israel, the harp player. Life has always been, a bowl of cherries to me. And all of a sudden, the weight has come down on me in my youth, and I've not faced it before. David looked up, and when he said, what is man that thou art mindful of me and him, and the son of man that thou visitest him, David shouted, he is! He is! And he knows! And God does know your pain. He does know your heartache. He does know your need. He does know your case. Your case may never be presented, but God knows it. And nobody else may ever know it. And by the way, what difference does it make? We're all going to be in heaven in a few days anyhow. What does it matter? As long as God knows it. David said he knows. Come down to the third thing he said, and it's hard to contain myself when I come to this one. And I love this. He said he cares. He cares. I mean, just it's enough to know that he is. But David said, more than that, he knows. He knows my burden. He knows my heartache. He knows my trial. He knows my baby's illness. He knows the cancer in my body. He knows the financial suffering I'm enduring. He knows the burdens I have. He knows my husband beat me black and blue. He knows. He knows. But David said more than that, he cares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I wish everybody could hear what I hear. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, how do you take the load you carry? Forgive me for saying it. I don't have time. I don't have time to carry it. I've got to say, Jesus, take care of this load right quick. I've got to cut out of loads I've got to carry. But thank God, if you could just know or hear what I hear. I cannot solve all your problems. I wish I could. I cannot see all of you when you need to see me. The church is too big for that. I wish I could. But I mean this. I care. I really do. I really do. The people I want to see, I can't see. I'm no giant of a man. I'm no Lee Robertson or Bob Jones or John Rice. I'm a little scrambling preacher, country preacher. All of a sudden, got a hold of something, was dragging him as fast. He didn't know how to hold on to it hardly. And to keep it all going is beyond me.
And I've got to go day and night, and I've got to work day and night, and I want to do things I can't do. But there's one thing I can do. I can care. I can care. But if you don't believe I care, let me tell you, you don't have to believe that. But let me tell you, He cares. He cares.
He is, said David. He knows,
said David.
He cares,
said David. There's a fourth thing he said. He said, He feels. He feels. He's felt it. No one else knows your burden. Unless
nobody can understand my burden.
That's the truth. Nobody ever can. But there's one who's borne your burden. Bible said that in all points He was tested just like we. What is your burden this morning?
He had it. He bore it.
He suffered it. You say, how could He suffer His husband beating Him? He wasn't a woman. He made Himself, him and Al, He made Himself feel the same feeling a woman would feel if her husband beats her. Did you understand that?
Though he was never a wife, He made Himself feel that pain. And in all the pains you've ever felt and the burdens you've ever borne and the cares you've ever known, He feels.
What is your burden this morning? He's borne it. What is your hurt this morning? He's felt it. What is your pain this morning? He suffered it. What is your obstacle this morning? He's faced it. What is your heartache this morning? He knows what it is. He feels. He feels.
And every time you have a pain,
Jesus looks down and says, I feel that. I was there. You know, I pastor a lot of young preachers across this nation. Dr. Evans, I imagine 5,000 young preachers call me their pastor across this nation. You know one reason why? Because I remember. I don't care what size church you got, if it's 19 or more, or 80,000, or more than 80,000, or 19 or less. If you've got a church less than 19, I've never pastored. But I have pastored every size church anybody has, 19 members to 82,000 members. I know. I fought the battles every young preacher's fought. I faced the same walls they faced. And they called me from across the country and say, Brother Hyatt, I've got a problem. Can you help me? I don't know if I can help you, but I can feel with you. I can hurt with you. I can cry with you. And this morning, if you don't think anybody understands or feels your problem, let me tell you, He feels your problem. David said, I don't understand it. All of a sudden, the weight of life has come upon me prematurely. And I, as a young man, have having to face things I never thought life had, and things I never thought existed. And David got out beneath the stars and looked up, and he said, He is. He said, He knows. He said, He cares. He said, He feels. And then number 5 included in this. I guess I've checked 20 commentaries about this one psalm this week. I've chosen these words that have been said by the different commentators. Number 5, David said, He loves. He loves. If there's one statement I've said behind this pulpit more than any other statement the 27 years I've been your pastor, it's this. I don't know any better news than this, that God loves me. I don't know any better news. There was a famous theologian several years ago, probably one of the world's 2 or 3 most famous. And in a question and answer session, young theologians were asking this famous mind questions. And somebody stood and said, Sir, Doctor, Sir, so-and-so, could I ask you this question? What is the greatest, deepest truth in the Bible to you? Of all the great truths that God has opened to you, what is the deepest truth of all? In a deep bass voice, this great theologian answered by singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they're weak, but He is strong.
Yes.
Sing it.
Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
You won't ever in your life hear any better news than that. I've used this often. It's in one of my books. In that first verse where it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's Psalm 8:1. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. And that word, that little line there means this. God is introduced as the great actor. The curtain is pulled and God comes on the stage to do His performance. And all of a sudden, God looks and sees that the stage is too small. The stage is just on the earth. But the earth is too small for God's performance. And so God sits back and asks for a larger stage. They put a larger stage, and that stage is the universe. And God steps out and starts to perform. But the universe is not big enough for God's performance. He must have a bigger stage. And what it means is this. For God to do His performance, the stage had to be above the heavens. And the next line says, But out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. That great... I hadn't thought about this in years. Years ago, the great John R. Rice was preaching. And I was sitting in the audience with Mrs. Rice. Bless her heart. My mother was always jealous of Mrs. Rice. I'd go down to the store of the Lord and visit. And I'd come home. Mother would say, and Mother had a way of, she couldn't cover it up when she was upset. She had a little wiggle of her lips. That, and some of you folks have seen it. And she'd say, how was your meeting, son? I'd say, fine, Mother. Did you see Dr. Rice? Yes, I saw Dr. Rice. Did you see Mrs. Rice? And I'd say, yes, ma'am. Did you go to her home? Like a jealous woman or a man. About a mate. And I'd say, no. No, I didn't get to. She'd say, oh, you didn't? But I was sitting with Mrs. Rice in a great auditorium one time, several thousand people there, and Dr. John Rice is preaching, and I was going to preach later. I was sitting back in the, two-thirds back, and Mrs. Rice beside me, and Dr. John was preaching one of his famous sermons on prayer, asking and receiving, and boy, nobody could preach on prayer like John Rice. And while he was preaching, and I mean, he had that crowd right there, Mrs. Rice picked up a pen, and she got a little piece of paper, and she wrote on it, and handed these three words, and handed it to me, and I looked at it, and it said, He loves me. That man up there loves me. That great preacher, John R. Rice, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Greatest note in Seraph's song. Greatest theme on mortal tongue. Greatest carol ever sung. Jesus loves me. David said, I wasn't ready for the sudden realities of life. As I look at the stars at night, I say, He is. He knows. He cares. He feels. He loves. Number 6. He hears. He hears. Do you ever wonder how he hears everybody at the same time? I had a little heavy load not long ago, And I was talking to God, and I said, no, I shouldn't have said that. I said, now, God, I know a lot of people talking to you right now, but I want you to pay attention to me. I mean, I almost felt like this is my audience. I said, sit still, God, I'm preaching. But I could hear him. What'd you say? And I said, God, now you listen just to me. I want you to hear me now. He did. They say it often, Brother Hiles, just to tell somebody, that's all I need to do. Just have somebody listen to me. Well, the miracle of miracles to me is how much the ladies can get together and all of them talk and all of them hear at the same time. But you ask any of them, they all talk and they all hear. If you don't believe they all hear them talk tomorrow. They tell tomorrow to somebody else what they heard yesterday. Of course, men don't do that.
Christ.
But I'm saying, yeah, he hears.
I love that little line. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I hope you won't misunderstand this. I always hesitate to say something like this for fear you won't understand. And I'll preface it by saying this. In the 39, almost 40 years I've been pastoring, I've never looked upon one of my members with a lustful look. I've never looked upon one of you ladies with an unholy look. But as I was talking this week to one of our little girls, oh, she's mommy to somebody. And if she were in the other church, you know, the preacher, she'd be a young married lady. But I can recall the day when she used to put pennies under my door and say, I want to go to the house. I remember the day when she used to come by the office and toddle up and give me a kiss on the cheek. I remember the day when she sat over here in Vacation Bible School and I said, I love you, beginners. And she'd throw kisses at me. I remember the day when she sat down here as a junior. Hey, the devil! Hey, the house, the devil's here! I remember those days. I remember the grade school days. I remember the high school days at Hammond Baptist High School. And I remember the wedding day. I did not do it, of course, because she's a lady now. But somehow I wanted to reach out and grab her by the arm and shake her hand and maybe wish she was a little baby girl again. And I wanted to say, God loves you. She walked away carrying the load of her life. Far too young to face burden she's facing. Far too weak to carry the load she has to carry. And I say to you, as David said this morning, he is. He knows. He cares. He feels. He loves. He hears. And he helps. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's not easy. You parents know what I mean. You have adult children. It's not easy to watch your children grow up and face the realities of life. I pray every day for our daughter Linda's little baby who has a little leg that's not normal and deformed and a little foot that'll never straighten. A little leg that'll never be normal. And I remember the times they've sat waiting in the waiting room while surgery is being performed. That's just part of it. It's not easy to see the kids have to face it. But I've got thousands of kids whom I love very, very much. And could your pastor say this morning to you and to all others who have burdens, what David said beneath the stars one night. He is. He knows. He cares. He feels. He loves. He hears. He helps. He really does. He really, really does. Our Heavenly Father,